a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Wendy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Alliance Energy, Powering Beyond.
Well, we want to say a high, big peeny geegee to Dr. Stately for sitting in for us the last 2 days, Thursday and Friday. Did a great job, and we were monitoring him, Wendy, in New York, and sending messages. And Ogma, thanks for keeping the ship afloat. It's always good to have a host as opposed to a rerun, so we really, really appreciate that. And, you know, Wendy's still in New York, and we had a good time in New York. We got to see a great protest down, what street was that? It was Off-Broadway, mm-hmm. Not to be confused with Off-Broadway. But there was a good 5 or 6 blocks full of protesters about these things that are happening to the United States, and that's with we're turning yes. back the clock. Right,
particularly when? Women and abortion rights.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. We need to elect progressive people. We can't be lollygagging around here. The Democrats have had a long opportunity to fix things, 40, 50 years, and we're still at the balance here. We're going backwards. But enough of my editorial. Why don't we get to Ogama with the news that you don't hear anywhere else. Thanks again, Ogama, for keeping the ship afloat. We like to say our dugout canoe. Thank you.
Yes, no problem. I was happy to do it and happy you two got to take some time off. For those of you who are just tuning in, my name is Ogama Ganuakwe. It means strong golden eagle woman, and I'm a member of the Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota. I have some news and events for you this coming week, I guess, kind of into the summer, covering mostly water protector news today, and I'll get to that towards the end. But the first event is coming up on Tuesday at the Pink Slip in Minneapolis. There will be a water protector community art share, artwork, photos, poetry, music, and witnessing the movement to stop Line 3. Again, that's Tuesday, June 28th from 5 to 9 p.m. at the Pink Slip at 3004 40th Avenue South in Minneapolis. There is a tiny URL, or excuse me, there's a bit.ly. So if you go to bit.ly/waterprotectorartshare, you can submit your artwork there or submit that you're going to be bringing artwork so that they can make sure to plan to have enough space for you. If I get the time, I'm going to be submitting some of my photos from witnessing the Stop Line 3 movement as a media person for Native Roots Radio. So check those out if you get a chance to stop in there. Coming up later this summer are the Shell River reunions at the Shell River at Shell City Campground near Huntersville State Forest in Monaga, Minnesota. The next Shell River reunion is coming up July 15th through 17th, and I believe there is live music, although I've forgotten if it's Andy Humphrey or if it's Corey Medina who's playing. I want to say July is Corey Medina and August is Andy Humphrey, August 26th through 28th. The Shell River Alliance is hosting these events in connection with Honor the Earth and others, I believe, and they are to gather water protectors and to talk about protecting the Shell River and other water across Minnesota. Also, if you have not yet gotten your tickets, coming up this September, the Water is Life Festival hits Bayview Festival Park in Duluth, Minnesota again, Sunday, September 4th. Tickets are $40. You can find them at firstavenue.com. That's first spelled out, dash avenue spelled out, .com. And their headlining artist at this time is Ani DeFranco, and then the Indigo Girls, Allison Russell, Keith Sokol is going to be there, Annie Humphrey. I mean, this lineup is amazing. And there's more to be announced between now and September. So make sure you get online and get your tickets. Ani, amongst the progressive crowd, often does sell out. So make sure you're stopping in to get your tickets at firstavenue.com. Big events coming up for Drop the Charges. He has some hope as being facing a jury trial, this coming Tuesday, June 28th at 9 a.m. at the Cass County Courthouse. They are asking people to flood the courts in support of our relative, who, again, is on a jury trial related to charges from the Stop Line 3 protest in the year 2021 and late 2020, I suppose, too. Flood the Courts is an ongoing event or ongoing movement to get water protectors to show up for one another for those of our relatives who are facing legal problems after taking action to stop Line 3. You can sign up for updates or find out how you can help by going to tinyurl.com/floodthecourts. There are so many Drop the Charges events that are happening too as well. In Minnesota, there were over 1,000 Enbridge-funded arrests of people standing with water protectors trying to stop giant tar sands from doing what they did. And this is a Winona LaDuke quote. Winona LaDuke asked who the criminal is and who is enabling the criminal to get away while prosecuting the real heroes. Again, you can find out more about this at bit.ly/dropthecharges or go to tinyurl.com/floodthecourts. The reason that I am talking about this so heavily is because there are a lot of things happening in other parts of the world that are a little bit more intense than what's happening here, say, in Minnesota. In Minnesota, Enbridge Energy, obviously during their Line 3 pipeline construction, had a special fund set aside with the state of Minnesota, and they were able to fund police to help arrest water protectors. Right now, water protectors are asking people to help by asking the Walz Flanagan administration to appoint Attorney General Keith Ellison as a special prosecutor for the most egregious cases of water protectors. And Tara Hauska asked that we stood up for your water and for your children and to stand up for us. There are, again, numerous ways that you can support. But when we talk about water protectors and people throughout the world who are facing these things, Climate and Capitalism just recently posted June 24th that indigenous organizations in Peru have declared a state of emergency. So over a dozen indigenous organizations have declared a state of emergency in Peru following the deaths in 2020 in Peru and in South America, so in the Amazon basin, including Colombia, Brazil, Peru, and Bolivia. There were 263 murders against human rights defenders registered in Latin America, of which 202 happened in that Amazon basin, representing 77% of the cases. 69% of those 263 murders in 2020 were against leaders working in defense of the territory, the environment, and the rights of indigenous peoples. And in the first quarter of 2021 alone, 193 murders of indigenous people in Colombia and Peru who were defending the rights of indigenous peoples and Mother Nature have already been recorded. This is coming from directly from extractive industries in the Amazon. And when we talk about losing our rights here in the United States, as Roe versus Wade has been reversed, and the Supreme Court has, members of the Supreme Court have made comments that they might be eyeing other civil rights of citizens. This is not so far off for people who have chosen to stand up for the water here in Minnesota. So I want to make it clear that these kinds of things are, again, they seem very far off, you know, down on the southern peninsula of Turtle Island. But as we move forward, it's really important that we, as Robert said, talk about progressive people and getting progressive people into office here in Minnesota, because this is not something that is going to be far off if Minnesota were to perhaps go red. In other national news in, I guess, the United States portion, Arizona is now the next state to have undergraduate students from the 22 federally recognized tribes in Arizona to not have to pay tuition and mandatory fees at the University of Arizona. Minnesota just recently did this for, I believe, all U of M locations. Is that right, Robert?
Yeah, and also Augsburg, too. And I think the
Augsburg,
U of M,
yes, that was the
and also the U of M, I think that's just for 1 year, but Augsburg's for all four.
Yes.
Awesome. So, hey, Ogama, Pini Gigi for the updated news. I see you got Reservation Dogs coming up soon, but we have David Knoyer, a recovering TV reporter, coming on and giving us a cool report again. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Met Council Housing Redevelopment Authority is adding people to its waiting list for rental assistance. Rent is up to 40% of what you make, and you decide where you want to live. Sign up before June 28th at noon, as 2,000 applicants will be randomly selected for the waiting list. Go to waitlistcheck.com/metro to sign up. That's waitlistcheck.com/metro before Tuesday at noon. Again, waitlistcheck.com/metro.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Hey, Wendy, how's it going? I'm off here a little jet-lagged here, but really, really happy to have David Knoyer come on. And David, years ago, was the big shot news reporter at Care 11, and now he's like a freelance guru here with the Native community, and he's got a couple things that he's going to be talking about today, and one of them is very exciting because it has to do with Ogama, too. So, David, always a pleasure to have you on. Welcome. David, you're on mute. There you go.
Sorry about
Welcome.
That. Hi, everybody. Nope. Thanks for having me. It's always good to join the family around the campfire there. Yes, Ogama is one of our, you talk about me being the guru. We're very excited about a conversation we're having tomorrow at the Shakopee Mittawakaton Sioux Community's new cultural center called Hochokatati, the fire at the center of the camp. It's a really interesting building down there. If you haven't had a chance to go inside, there's an exhibit on Dakota history from that Shakopee tribe's perspective. And as we know, that it's a very untold history, right? Because of the history and the implications and results of the Dakota War in the late 1860s. So, but that's not what we're talking about tomorrow per se. We're talking about how do we improve news coverage and have more complete stories, more accurate stories of our indigenous communities, much like you do nightly here on Native Roots Radio, Wendy and Robert. And Ogama is one of our speakers tomorrow. And we're just so excited to hear from, I don't know how you describe yourself, Ogama, but up and coming is one of the terms that comes to me. And Robert and I are no longer up and coming. So it's good to turn over to the microphone to a new generation, if you will, of storytellers who are I don't know, digital natives, right? That's one term that social media, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, all of those things, and there's a lot more, right? There's a whole array of YouTube-like social media, right? That if you just watch your TV on YouTube, there's different channels and different apps, right, that let you watch that kind of video, because a lot of these kids don't watch TV over the airwaves anymore. But I get distracted. Ogama, you want to give us a preview of what you're going to talk about tomorrow?
You know, I just believe that there's a small personal statement that's going to be talked about, and I really wanted to just touch base on how I got involved in doing this work. And honestly, I don't hate to admit it, but it's funny to admit that it was kind of on a whim. I reached out to Robert and he said, send me a tape. So I did. And over the last 2 years, 2.5 years or so, it's really kind of escalated quickly in a good way that I'm here and able to do the news and work on things that I love, but mostly that there is a massive power in media for Indigenous people. And Robert, you were talking about digital natives, and I love the term, because a lot of the tributes that you see to Native people and the history that you're getting in schools about Native people and what people know about Native people would have you believing that we no longer exist. And saying that there's digital natives, that there's people like me and you and Robert and all of our other Indigenous relatives who are out here on the airwaves in the internet, in its vast scope of social media, doing this work makes sure that we're still here and that we are current.
Well, David, I wrote down digital natives right away because you know I'm going to make a T-shirt now, but I appreciate that.
I was looking for my Resist shirt that you gave me, Robert, and I couldn't find it. My closet's too dark, and so every shirt in there looks black, so I just grabbed one. But, you know, it's going to be a nice conversation, and we're just so grateful to the Shakopee people and tribe. They really built that facility for their own people, right? Their general council meetings are there. And as you know, I mean, the Dakota people have had a really tough, they got a raw end of the deal, to say the least, right? Since it was illegal to be Dakota in Minnesota for so long, they shipped so many of the Dakota people out of state. And those that stayed, right, kind of kept their heads down. And you know, 20 years ago when Mystic Lake, the casino, opened, right, it was just a constant barrage of negative stories that we saw on the airwaves here. And I was a reporter about that time, and the Star Trib seemed like it had a negative story once a month on the front page, right, about how dare these Indians do this, and do you realize where all your money's going now? And, you know, just news tends to be negative generally, right? It's a controversy, it's a storm, it's a tornado, it's bad coverage, you know, it's something that people are talking about. But it's great to see with Robert and Wendy and the Ogamas of the world, we're actually now starting to tell the other side of the story, right? Not only we are still here, but look at all the cool stuff that we're doing, right? And Native people have as much to offer as anybody, right? Not just on Indian stuff and treaties and all of those things, as important as they are, but on economics, on politics, on social change, on, right, you name it, you know,
on farming, perspectives. Farming, David. Yeah, I mean, and we're talking about all those fires out in California, and now they're going to go back to the old way, the Native ways of doing a controlled burn.
Exactly. And I remember I met a Forest Service person. She's actually a female, and she's from one of the pueblos in New Mexico, but she works for the Forest Service in Montana. And she talked about that and how challenging it can be sometimes for that type of indigenous science, right? I heard a woman from Canada call it indigenous science, not traditional knowledge necessarily, even though it may be. But traditional knowledge is just one more excuse for, you know, a lot of people with power and authority to ignore as just something that, you know, the black and white Indians thought of, you know, 100 years ago. So let's call it indigenous science, which legitimizes it, right? and the controlled burns and the land management, you know, are very legitimate processes that can make the forest better, you know, as well as, you know, help us manage the ups and downs that Mother Nature in this time of climate change is going to continue to bring.
Exactly. And then I think of, too, the three sisters, right? The three sisters planting the corn and the two other plants that go with that.
Yeah, what is it? Corn, beans, and squash, right?
Yes, corn, beans, and squash.
The corn is the trellis for the bean pole to, you know, to run up the corn, and then that provides shade to the squash. And
I was three cracking sisters up
and
that.
Everything else we're growing, right?
Exactly. Ogama's, that was pretty funny, right? But hey, we only got a couple minutes here. And David, you know, talk a little bit more about that event tomorrow, because I think, I'm not sure if you can still sign up, but it sounds exciting. And I have to tell you, too, the TikTok people are unbelievable. I get so much in those 3 minutes. You know, they upload it, they do it now for 3 minutes, and that's a length of a song. I mean, there's so much information out there that my short attention span really grabs and learns. And I'm really excited that young people like Ogama, I mean, that whole story, love to tell it someday how, again, maybe on the anniversary of Ogama being on the show, how, you know, you call people on their bluff, basically, and she has not left the airwaves ever since that day.
Right. Well, if you're interested, go to the We Are Still Here Minnesota page on Facebook when this show is over in half an hour. We Are Still Here Minnesota. And check out, there should be some registration information there. And we wanted to cap the registration at 200, so once we hit that cap, it won't be possible to register anymore. But the Shakopee, Mittawakatons, Dakota community, Minnesota Public Radio, We Are Still Here, and Megazee Communications have come together for these roundtables to improve and make more accurate and complete the news media coverage of Indigenous issues in Minnesota. And Minnesota Public Radio has been just a wonderful partner and have done some real heavy lifting here. But we're going to hear from Ogama tomorrow, Jada Gray Eagle, who's a photographer with Sahan Journal, and Ruben Kiddo Stately, who is a artist and hip-hop rapper who's told some very, very great stories in his language. And check it out. We're excited, and Ogama will have more to talk about tomorrow night. And before you kick me out, I just wanted to show some video from a powwow
David, let's go grab that if you can on the second segment. Yeah, can you come back with us?
Sure.
That's awesome. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we're here with David Knoyer and the crew. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
The Met Council Housing Redevelopment Authority is adding people to its waiting list for rental assistance. Rent is up to 40% of what you make, and you decide where you want to live. Sign up before June 28th at noon, as 2,000 applicants will be randomly selected for the waiting list. Go to waitlistcheck.com/metro to sign up. That's waitlistcheck.com/metro before Tuesday at noon. Again, waitlistcheck.com/metro.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
This is David from The David Pakman Show, where we expose the hatriots, liars, and Trumpists. Weekdays at 2 p.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Would you let animals pick your insurance? Do you really need to experience mayhem to get the best rates? Or how about a celebrity quarterback or fake university saving you money? There's a lot of marketing stunts when it comes to insurance, but what you really need is someone looking out for you. Call Array Insurance, and they will work hard to find you the best insurance coverage and rates. So avoid gimmicks. Call Cheryl at Array, 763-504-3067 or arrayinsurance.com. Array Insurance, working hard for you.
Electricity costs have hit historic highs, and they're likely to continue rising with no end in sight. If you own a business, those are costs that are eating away at your bottom line. But switching to All Energy Solar can help you see green instead of red. A system from All Energy Solar offers a bankable investment with energy costs that won't rise along with fossil fuels. So stop renting your energy from the utility company, because the rent keeps going up. Solar tax incentives are strong, returning up to 60% of your investment. But those credits will decrease in 2023. And with more businesses switching to solar, capacity is limited. That's why reserving your spot on the grid now has never been more critical. All Energy Solar has the experience of installing over 6,000 systems for all sorts of properties in the Midwest and beyond. Get a free no-obligation assessment from All Energy Solar's commercial solar specialists today by calling 800-620-3370 or visiting allenergysolar.com.
Seward Co-op is now offering convenient self-serve and prepackaged hot options and salad bars at both the Franklin and Friendship stores. Breakfast items available daily until 11 a.m. and brunch served all day every Sunday. Their weekly lunch and dinner menus highlight cuisines from around the world. They offer vegan, vegetarian, and gluten-free options daily. 95% of the ingredients used are organic from small-scale, local community food producers whenever possible. More at seward.coop.
Right now, gas prices are up there, but don't worry. Fuel efficiency is easy to obtain with a great hybrid model from Rudy Luther Toyota. The Prius, the Camry, the Corolla, the Highlander, and the RAV4, all of them have hybrid models offering you amazing fuel efficiency while you never once have to sacrifice style. RudyLuther.com is the first place to stop to see all their inventory. Rudy Luther Toyota has vehicles to test drive on the lot right now. Find the Toyota hybrid which works with your lifestyle and get it delivered. Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
With a look at your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lulia. A chance of showers and thunderstorms tonight with a low of 63. Another chance of showers and storms on Tuesday with a high of 86.
It's Angela Warner from Warner Stallion here letting you know that this is it. Our lowest prices of the season with 5% savings you won't find anywhere else on refrigerators, washers and dryers. Oh, and free dishwasher installation too. Shop your local Warner Stallion today.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Native Roots Trading Post. Robert Ogema, we will be at the Minnesota State Fair this year from Thursday, August 25th through Monday, September 5th.
My knees already hurt.
I know. It's going to be fun. Fun 12 days at the Minnesota Fair with Native Roots Trading Post.
Right, where we support Native artists all over Turtle Island. And what you're going to buy is you're going to come and buy Native arts and designs that are from Native Americans, not mm-hmm. from some place like Tarjay Boutique. Hey, we're here with David Kanoyer. And David, a lot to talk about here. I know you were at a powwow, and maybe you wanted to set this up a little bit.
Yeah, thanks. And you know, covering the state fair back in the day is one of the reasons I'm a recovering TV reporter. the crowds, you know, oh my gosh, trying to tell a story that hasn't been told a million times, you know, but. It'll be fun to see you all out there. That's certainly a different angle on it. You know,
well, maybe you can come out and do one of the shows with us, because we plan on doing bringing out the old laptop like we did down in Albuquerque and do the show.
Yeah, let's do it. That'll be fun. That totally. Let's do it. This past weekend, I zipped over to the UP of Michigan for a separate project. And I'm doing these video profiles on exemplary indigenous scientists. And one of the people I'm profiling is from the Bay Mills Indian community, which is really at the place where the Lake Superior and Lake Michigan, they all kind of come together there by Sault Ste. Marie. And the Bay Mills Indian community is known as the place of the pike. And just an absolutely beautiful, beautiful place. And this was their annual veterans powwow. And I have a little clip of the grand entry on day one this past Friday night, honoring the veterans of this Ojibwe community. If you want to play that video, it's not much. It's just a clip. And what I liked about the event, right, is smaller. You can really look around and see just about everybody in one glance. I think there were about five or six drums that rotated, and the veterans were honored. And what was very, very interesting was not only honoring them, the lead veteran was George Martin. I believe his first name is George. It goes by Poppy. He's from the Gun Lake Band of Potawatomi. And his daughter, Shannon Martin, was one of the powwow MCs. Shannon's pretty well known in Michigan and ran the cultural center at Saginaw Chippewa for a long time. And she was MCing along with a fellow from Canada known as Bidasiga Elliott. And both of them, you know, were a great team. And one of the veterans, who's a community leader there at Bay Mills, is nicknamed Bucko Teeples. Bucko Teeples. And you can see him there. He's right in front there to your right with the long gray hair holding the dark eagle staff. There you see the lead dancer, or the lead veteran, his walker, Mr. Martin. And this is really close to the Canadian border, so Canada was very much a partner in the flag presentations and the posting of the colors. And there was also a two-spirit flag that was posted. As I said, beautiful setting. It was quite warm the first 2 days until the temperature dropped 20 degrees like it did here in the Twin Cities on Sunday. But Bucko Teeple, who was one of the veterans in front, is a longtime community leader there, and he turned over that Eagle staff that he and many other collaborators put together on behalf of the tribe. So at the end of the grand entry on Saturday, he turned that flag over to the Bay Mills president, Whitney Gravel. And literally the announcers were talking about history being made, right? Because this Eagle staff now is something that they will take not only to important meetings, the general council meetings that the tribe has, but even to Washington, D.C., or important events where you show up with your own stars and stripes and flag, you know, including that Eagle staff. So that was quite a moving moment to see Mr. Teeples turn that staff over to the President Whitney, who's a woman, and you know, great to see the community coming together not only for their veterans but for each other after that presentation. All the citizens of the Bay Mills Nation went out and danced and shook hands over several different rounds of songs, and just a lovely, powerful event that shows, you know, when we come together, so much is possible.
David, it's amazing too. I know a good friend of yours, Deanna, in the Twin Cities here, is doing some emceeing that is normally done by males. And it's great to hear that things are changing. We're not, you know, powwows are open to the public. And I like to remind that to all our white allies out there is to come to these powwows. These are a celebration of family and our culture. And like Ogama said earlier, we're still here. And so it's great to see those things happen with our native people along with the flag that you mentioned too, that's being marched in. That's huge.
Yeah, it was just, people were so welcoming too. I mean, I was there because I was doing, you know, some video about a family member who had, who's going to be recognized on the national stage for her science. And so, of course, you know, they were nice to me and welcoming, but boy, they went totally overboard with just their friendliness and storytelling. And Teeples is a really well-known family in that part of the country, and so many doers among them, right? Bucko, who's the oldest boy, and several folks down the line, right, are teachers and community leaders and doers, and, you know, just also very gracious, funny people. And it was just, I didn't really want to leave, you know, but I had to get back to town and miss the nicest day, right, when the temperatures cooled off.
Hey, so before we let you go, David, the great stories, by the way, when you come on, really, we talked a lot politics. You were sitting in and doing the news a week or so ago, but I want you, you know, it's always a pleasure to have you on. I want you to talk about tomorrow's event one more time before we end this segment.
Well, this is actually pretty cool stuff, and it may be a first for the state, where an intentional effort to help Minnesota's news media tell more accurate, complete stories about indigenous issues. People have been doing it. Robert Ogama, Wendy, we have had Leah Lem up north, who's been doing wonderful radio work on a number of public radio stations and tribal stations up there. Leah's just amazing. But this is an effort really for exchange, right? Because you have to talk, you have to visit in order for people to understand each other. And that takes time. So this is the third of three sessions where we're going to hear from some young storytellers, such as Ogama and some others, you know, about what excites them, right, about storytelling. What excites them in telling more authentic stories about indigenous people, indigenous communities, indigenous issues, and hopefully, right, hear from some new folks that can spark a conversation of the importance of listening. You know, it's really hard sometimes to listen and really open not only your mind but your heart. And so stories with some feeling, with some vulnerability expressed sometimes, right, can do that trick. And so it's just going to be a great day. And we're grateful to Ogama and the others for sharing their time. But Minnesota Public Radio, we are still here in Minnesota. Migazee Communications have been leading the planning, and the Shakopee Mdewakanton Dakota community has just been super hosts and opened their new cultural center to this. The name of the cultural center is Hochokatati, and that is a reference to the circle at the center of camp. And so we're going to go on a journey to the center tomorrow with the help of Ogama's insights. And Robert, it sounds like you're going to be there too. So look forward to a good day. And there's more information on We Are Still Here Minnesota's Facebook page. So stay tuned for Ogama's report on that tomorrow. And hopefully she'll have very good news and a great experience to share.
You know, David, when we were a two-hour show, Ogama did a story every week. And she started out with that, and I'll never forget. Well, there's a couple of them I'll never forget. And you know how you want to add music, maybe sound effects, but she just gave us the story straight out. And the first one was on how she had two birthdays and couldn't get it enrolled. And it was 8 minutes long, and it was, Wendy, we'll never forget that. It was like, wow. Right, Wendy?
Sorry, I had to unmute. Yes, I loved Ogama's stories. She would record them and we would play them, and it was just really wonderful to hear all the different stories that she had and different perspectives from her. You're going to have to start doing that again when you have time, maybe when your new baby's like 5 or 6 years old.
Yeah, exactly. But they were great. They were definitely great, and we miss those. But you do a great job on the news. And David, thank you so much for stopping in as usual. It's really great to hear and all the things that you do for our community too. We didn't even jump into that, but you do a lot for our community, and you've been always, always a big supporter of Native Roots Radio, and I want to just say Pini Gigi for that. And I'll be great to see what you got going tomorrow, because I'll be there.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and that was David Kanoyer, a recovering TV reporter, and now he's a freelance producer out there doing the work. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
The Met Council Housing Redevelopment Authority is adding people to its waiting list for rental assistance. Rent is up to 40% of what you make, and you decide where you want to live. Sign up before June 28th at noon, as 2,000 applicants will be randomly selected for the waiting list. Go to waitlistcheck.com/metro to sign up. That's waitlistcheck.com/metro before Tuesday at noon. Again, waitlistcheck.com/metro.
Navigating COVID while protecting yourself can be difficult. Fortunately, there's a hotline you can call with any questions. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on vaccines, booster shots, and testing sites. Right now, booster shots are available to anyone over the age of 18 for those who are eligible. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline can also help with housing, food, medical, and educational support. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19, vaccinations, booster shots, or testing, please call 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl!
All right. Hey, Wendy, I miss you. You know, I saw Wendy a few hours ago as I was leaving our place. And here I am in Minnesota, and Wendy's holding down the fort in New York. How's the weather, Wen?
It was raining all day today. Thunder showers and storms.
Well, I left at a good time. Hey, you know, we're mixing it up a little bit here today. And Wendy, who normally I don't talk as much either, I don't think, because I'm having a trouble talking here on a Monday. But we're going to have Wendy do her sacred animal section today. And we're grateful that she's going to do that. And Wendy, what do you got for us today?
Yeah. Hi, everybody. My name is Hanajihi Hani, and that means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. And Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. It's always my pleasure to do that. But I have an article here that I found, and it's from a new Minnesota publication called Bring Me the News. It's an article written by Christine Schuster, dated June 25th, 2022. And I'm going to be talking about the peregrine falcon. And I didn't know this, but the Peregrine falcon is the fastest animal on Earth, which once had vanished from Minnesota and Wisconsin. That is the Peregrine falcon. Each spring, volunteers in Minnesota rappel down cliff sides, climb under bridges, and scale buildings, all hoping to discover more about nature's missile, the peregrine falcon. What we are discovering is rewriting the textbooks about peregrines, said Jackie Fallon, vice president of field operations for the St. Paul-based Midwest Peregrine Society. Thousands of peregrine falcons in the United States are monitored through decades-long bird banding efforts. Fallon, a Twin Cities resident, visited her first peregrine falcon nesting site in St. Paul in 1988. "I've been hooked ever since," she said. In recent days, Fallon and a group of volunteers have traveled around the North Shore banding chicks found on cliffsides, islands, and elsewhere. The season's exhaustive banding efforts should be complete before the end of this month. The peregrine falcon banding, chicks are found south of Winona all the way up to Grand Portage, over to Brainerd, through the St. Cloud, and beyond. Minnesota is prime real estate for these falcons. Most large cities in our region are near water, and that's what brings their food source to them, Fallon explained. These falcons, able to reach straight-line flight speeds of 70 miles an hour and stoop speeds in excess of 240 miles per hour. Now, I didn't know what a stoop speed was, so I looked it up. And does either one of you guys know what a stoop speed means? No. Okay. No. So what it is, it's a technique that these birds use, and it's called stoop, and it involves them flying upwards to a high altitude. Then they dive bomb back down to the earth at breathtaking speeds that regularly reach more than 200 miles an hour. And that's why they're known as the fastest animal on the earth. While there's over 350 nesting pairs in the upper Midwest today, there were just none over a half a century ago. Before the reintroduction efforts took hold, Minnesota lost sight of the species in 1963. That's when the state's last known falcon, documented at Whitewater State Park near Rochester, vanished. DDT, the insecticide widely used on agricultural crops in the 1950s and 1960s, had completely wiped out the population. The Midwest Peregrine Society, now a nonprofit organization powered by donations, was founded in 1970 by a group of falconers. With a $3 million investment, approximately 1,300 of these falcons were purchased from captive breeders and released in the Midwest region in the 1980s and 1990s. Back in the wild, the raptors returned to the cliffs they had historically inhabited for thousands of years, Fallon said. Many others found success in urban areas, nesting atop buildings and other tall structures. Over 100 chicks, for example, have been hatched out of the Colonnade building in Golden Valley over the past 30 years. These falcons are more adaptable than we ever gave them credit for, Fallon said, adding an 18-year-old falcon nesting on a bridge in Mankato is the oldest Minnesota falcon. While the species recovery exceeds all expectations, Fallon said the future of these falcons and other raptors depend on the availability of clean water, fresh air, and safe food. While the birds no longer face the threat of DDT in the United States, they do risk coming into contact with the chemical in other parts of the world during migration. That's something Fallon and other volunteers are keeping watch for by testing the birds' feathers. And I didn't know that they still used DDT in other parts of the world. So that's kind of sad. During this year's banding efforts, so they put these little bands around their ankles to follow them, volunteers are feeling relief as the state's avian influenza outbreak spared these falcons. Wow. Statewide researchers only know of one nesting site in Bloomington, Minnesota, where chicks fail to hatch after their mother succumbed to the virus. That leaves roughly 120 to 150 young falcons taking flight in Minnesota this year alone. We have a couple of fun facts. Let's see. I have some time here.
I love fun facts.
Yeah, so these are fun facts about these particular falcons. They can see at least 1 mile away and keep track of three moving objects at one time. Within the eye, these falcons have a center, a focal point of their retina at the back of each eye, which is similar to a telephoto lens. The oldest recorded falcon was at least 19 years, 9 months old when it was identified by its band in Minnesota in 2012. The falcon is a bird of prey, and it got its name from the Latin word pagariensis, which means wanderer. These falcons are one of the most widespread bird species in the world. They can be found on every continent except Antarctica, nowhere is it more prevalent than North America. They have a very noticeable black tear strip going from their eyes down to their neck. The strip allows to differentiate male and female falcons, since the female strip is usually gray. The female falcon is larger than the male. The average weight of a female falcon is approximately 2.6 pounds and the average height of 18 to 21 inches. They are 4 inches taller and 10 to 14 ounces heavier than the male. This size difference between the male and females may be due to how much energy it takes for a female to produce an egg.
Wow. Great job, Wendy. Hey, I want to give a quick shout out to David Knoyer and Ogama with the news today. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I want to thank Pini Gigi to all our listeners. We need to resist, divest, join a group, and run for office. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Free Leonard Peltier. Stop Line 3. Please get vaccinated.